Father in heaven, I want to thank you for allowing me to be here today at this church. And Father, I do pray that you'd speak to everyone here. Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, give them an understanding of the gospel. Give them an understanding of who they are in light of who you are. And Father, may the Spirit of God call a sinner to come to Christ and be born again. Father, encourage your people. Father, may they have a greater desire, a greater commitment to being a witness and a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we believe and know we're living in the last days, the last of the last days. And Father, your Son is coming soon. We believe that. And Father, our opportunities to extend the gospel to the lost will be over. And so, Father, may we be diligent to do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. This morning in Sunday school, I shared with everyone here that for myself, I was not raised in a truly Christian home. I was raised in a church that claimed to be Christian, but it was not based on the Bible. My parents, in sincerity, had me christened as a baby, as an infant. And growing up in the church, as a teenager, I went to confirmation classes. And I had to learn what a man believed who was born in the 1500s. Maybe he was born in the late 1400s, but he started his own church. His name was Martin Luther. And I had to learn what he believed. And for confirmation, we had to stand before the church. And the minister would be there, and he would question us concerning the beliefs of Martin Luther. And after we answered the questions, he then pronounced a blessing of some sort upon us, and then we lived our lives. I did not know in my own heart that I knew God. I believed in God. I wasn't an atheist. I believed that God had a son whose name was Jesus. But after I learned the Bible, I realized that the Jesus that I had learned about in the Lutheran church in which I was raised was not the Jesus of the Bible. It was another Jesus, as Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians 11. There's many reasons why the Jesus I learned about was not the true Jesus. I'll give you one reason. Because in the church that I was brought up in, I was taught that I became a Christian, I received forgiveness of sins at the time I was christened. I don't want to call it baptism. It wasn't real baptism biblically. And I was also taught that I received saving grace when I took communion. But it's interesting, the Bible doesn't teach that you receive Christ into your stomach. You don't eat and swallow Jesus and digest Jesus. It's a spiritual matter, and you receive him into your heart by faith. Amen. Another thing I was taught was this: the Jesus in the Lutheran church, he would give you this forgiveness at baptism or the Lord's Supper. But then it was my responsibility to maintain a certain level of spirituality. And if it happened that I would backslide, I would commit some sin of some kind, and I would backslide, I would lose my salvation. Well, then I would have to be saved again. And then if I backslid, well, then I lost it again. So then I'd have to come to Jesus to get saved again. The problem with that is the Bible doesn't teach that.
Right.
If you can be saved and lost, and saved and lost, saved and lost, and you hope you die in the right in-between, then how can I ever really know if I'm saved or not? And who's going to tell me if I'm saved? Who's going to tell me if I still have it or I've lost it? I can't really know if I'm saved. And I didn't know that I was saved. And because I didn't know, sir, that I was saved, I lived in fear. What if I died and I don't know that my sins are forgiven? Where am I going to go? I wanted to know that I was saved. I didn't know that. I couldn't know that because they don't believe that. But that wasn't good enough for me. I needed to know God, and I needed to know that I knew God. I needed to know that my sins were forgiven. I could not think of standing before Almighty God, Creator God, and I'm not prepared. I didn't become truly saved until I was 19, and I'm being forthright, but I was no angel. I can tell you that. In high school, I had done things you probably had never thought of. And I was afraid to stand before God. And I started to be very much concerned about that, and I started praying to God out there somewhere. I want to know you. I want to know you. And if I can't know you, I don't even want to live. At 19 years of age, preacher, the world stopped for me. I'm going to seek God until I find you. And thank God, God was aware of that. And God wanted me to know him, and God wanted me to become his child, and God wanted to save me.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, if you're not saved, God wants to save and forgive you, and he wants you to know that you're saved.
Amen.
And you can. Let me show you that from the Bible. Go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. We're going to read from verse 10 down to verse 14. Just five verses. Verse 10. For thus saith the Lord. Now that right there ought to get us to listen. Is God is going to speak. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and ye shall, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again to the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, this is a time in Israel's history. You need to understand that they had turned away from God. They were far from God. They didn't know God. They were not living for God. They were in captivity. God had allowed, in fact, God caused the nation of Babylon at this time to come to power, to overcome and conquer Israel, and to take the people, the best of the people, away captive to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Now, these people claimed to know God. They claimed to be of God, but they didn't really know God. They had turned to idols. And I think a lot of people today are like this. And maybe you're here today and you claim to know God. Maybe you would say you believe in Jesus. But if you were to be honest with yourself, and if you'll be honest with yourself, you'll be honest with God. If you will be honest with yourself and you look inward into your heart and soul, if you don't know God, you'd have to say, I don't have peace. And you'd have to say, if you were honest, you'd have to say, my life is not really a Christian life. I come to church, I can come to church, I can come with a, you know, with a nice shirt and tie or a dress, or I can come wearing nice clothes, and I can even carry a Bible, and I would claim to be a Christian. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not Muslim. I'm not, you know, a Hindu. I claim to be a Christian. Maybe you've been raised in church. But maybe, sir, you don't really, really know God in your heart and soul, and you don't have that peace, and you don't have that knowledge that God has forgiven you. And you're living in idolatry, as it were. You're living for self. You're pleasing self. Life is all about you. You're living in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You're living for self, and you're looking for that happiness and that peace, but you're looking in the wrong place. You're far from God. That's how Israel was. But God said in verse 10, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. My friend, listen, if you're not saved today, and that's who I'm speaking to primarily, I challenged the church and spoke to the brethren during Sunday school, but I want to speak to you if you're not saved. God in His love wants to visit you. God wants to come to you. He wants to call you by name. He wants to reason with you. He wants to visit with you. He wants you to hear, to know, and to understand of this salvation that God wants to freely give to you today. God said, I'll visit you. And I remember when I was lost as a teenager, I was so despondent with life. I was so desperate. I was so tired of being me. I was so guilty. I didn't want to live in my sin anymore. I actually hated myself. I hated who I was. I hated how I was living. But you know, that's where I really needed to be. You know, Jesus said, if you're going to come after me and be my disciple, you need to hate your father, your mother, your sister, brother, and so on. He said, yea, even your own life. You say, why is that, Brother Scott? Because, my friend, if I didn't see who I was in the eyes of God, a sinner, separated from God, unrighteous, with a wicked heart, if I didn't see who I was in the eyes of a holy God, if I didn't see that, then why would I come to Christ to have a new birth, to become a new person? I mean, if I looked in the mirror and I loved myself, oh, I'm a good person. I'm not so bad. I mean, I'm not like him. I mean, he's a drunkard. He's a womanizer. He's a thief. He's this. He's that. You know, we can do that. We can compare ourselves to people that we really think are worse off than we are. And it really makes us look kind of good, doesn't it? Did you ever do that? We're not to do that. That's self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. And there's not anybody in this world who's ever going to enter heaven with self-righteousness. Because all of our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. You know who you need to compare yourself to? God. Amen. And then you'll see you don't measure up, just like I don't measure up. I'm a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I remember being overwhelmed with my sin and realizing I need God, but where are you, God? And you know what I had to do? I had to wait upon the Lord. David said that in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. What else could I do? Salvation isn't me coming to God. He's too high. He's too holy. Salvation is God coming down to man. That's why Jesus came. I could never reach heaven. I could never get there by my own righteousness. God had to come down to me and offer me a gift of His righteousness. You know, the only kind of righteousness that God will allow into heaven is His own. Anything that is less than what God is not good enough. And God said to these people who were in captivity, God said, I'm going to come and visit you. I was in captivity of my sin, and I knew it. I tried to quit my sinning. I tried to quit my sinful habits, and I couldn't do it. I was being swallowed up by sin. It was destroying me. And I was crying unto God, God, I need you. Where are you? And I didn't know it because I didn't know the Bible, but God was going to come and visit me. Then what does it say? Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is such good news, my friend. Amen. Do you know that God thinks? God has thoughts, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But God has thoughts toward you. And what does God think of when He thinks of you? It says, I have thoughts toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil. You know, when God thinks about you, if you're not saved, God has thoughts of peace, meaning God wants to give you peace. That's what God thinks. God knows who you are. God knows how you're struggling. God knows your hurts. He knows the things that maybe nobody else knows. He knows your struggles. He knows all of those things. And He wants to give you peace. Not evil. This world is full of evil. My heart is evil. My sin nature is evil. But God wants to give peace. Not of evil. And I like this. He says, to give you. God has something He wants to give you. I'm reminded of the woman at the well. You know the woman at the well in John 4? Boy, she sure was looking for peace, wasn't she? She was looking for love and looking to be accepted. And she thought she'd find it in a man. And so she married a man and was not finding what she was looking for, and she left him. Then she went to number two. So then she marries this number two, thinking, oh, he's the answer. Why didn't I find you in the beginning? And she lived with him for a while and thought, eh, you're not what I wanted. So then she moves on to number three, marries again, number three. Then she becomes dissatisfied with him. You're out of here. Then she marries number four. She's looking for love. She's looking for acceptance. She's looking to be, feel like she's worth somebody. So, married number four and married number five, that didn't work. And finally she said, well, forget the marriage thing. Why go through all of that again? Let me just move in with number six. And Jesus had thoughts toward her. I want to give you peace, woman. You're not going to find it in the bed. You won't find it at the bank. People think it's money. You're not going to find it in the bottle. He must needs go through Samaria. We learned about that this morning. And He met this woman at the well, and He said, woman, if you knew the gift of God, if you only knew God has a gift for you, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of Him, meaning Himself, and He would have given thee living water. God has a gift for you. What does God want to give you? Look at verse 11. What does it say in the Bible? To give you unexpected end. Well, let me say this first of all. There is an end. Amen. You know, any of us who are over 50, some here are over 60, maybe you're over 70, wouldn't you say, oh, where did the time go? How did I get here? I blinked twice and now I'm old. You know, it just seemed like yesterday I had hair. Where did it go? Time goes by so quickly. There is an end. And we're all headed for the cemetery. If the Lord doesn't come back in our lifetime, we're all going to die. It is appointed unto men once to die. Do you know that the day you die, in God's heavenly date book, it's already been appointed? A date What's an appointment? A date, a time, and a place. Maybe you've heard this before, but let me illustrate how short life is. You go to the cemetery, you got the tombstone, and they have your name on it. Then they have your birth date, there's a dash, and your death date, the day you died. You know how short life is? Just that little dash in between the dates. You know, I've walked through cemeteries, you have too, and I've always taken notice of when somebody died. Some people died young. And they really try to embellish the tombstones and have things on there. By the way, I told my wife, I already told her what to put on my tombstone, but I want to do something different. You know what? I'm kind of different anyway, right? So, yep. So I thought I'm not only going to have something on the front of my tombstone, I'm going to have something engraved on the back of my tombstone. Rather than leave it blank, why leave it blank? You know what I'm going to put on my tombstone on the backside? I'm going to have engraved on there, "Get me out of here!" Sounds good, right? Get me out of here. There is an end. And God said, I want to, this is exciting to me, I want to give you an expected end. What is that word expected? We get the English word expectation. In other words, I believe what God is saying, I want to give you there's an end, but I want you to have something that you can expect. I want you to have an expectation, something you can look forward to when it comes time to your end. I want you to have an expected end. Hey, I'm looking forward to this. And you know, when you come to know the Lord, death has no fear. To tell you the truth, I'm actually looking forward. I'm looking forward to the day I die. You know why? I'm going to leave this sin-cursed world behind. I'm going to leave this sinful body behind. And I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to be meeting and greeting all of these people that I've read about or heard about and heard preached about. People I've preached about. I'm looking forward to it. You may not know this, but in 2019 in the kingdom of Eswatini, I was attacked by two men. I had my arm sliced wide open with a machete, and I had to escape for my life. I had to drive with blood spewing out of my arm. I had to drive with my knee. I had to use, this arm didn't work anymore. My radial nerve was sliced. I had to use my left arm to pinch here, to squeeze here to keep me from bleeding to death while I'm driving with my knee. And as I'm driving, thankfully I escaped, as I'm driving, I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm telling you, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I'm talking to the Lord and I'm saying, "Lord, if you want to take me now, I'm ready." I had such peace. I had such peace. I said, "Lord, if you want to take me, I'm ready. You can take me. But please don't take me now, because I don't want my family to be left behind without me. I don't want my wife to be a widow. I don't want my daughter to not have a daddy. She's just becoming a teenager." And God kept me alive, thankfully. But going through that, it was like a little preview to a movie, the trailer of a movie. It kind of gave me a little preview of what it's going to be like when my expected end comes. I'm saved. I get to be with the Lord. The last thing I want you to see here in verse 12, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Amen. "Then shall ye call upon me." What does that mean? All right, listen carefully. I am not a mechanic. You may be, but I'm not. If I have a mechanical problem, I have to call upon a mechanic. I am not a plumber. Maybe you're a plumber. I'm not a plumber. I am not an electrician. Ma'am, if I have any kind of problem like that, I have to call upon the plumber, the electrician, the mechanic, the dentist. In other words, what I'm saying is, when I call upon somebody, I'm saying, you have to do for me what I can't do for myself. I'm calling upon you. I can't save myself, Lord. I can't change myself. I need you. I'm calling upon you. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken. You know what hearken means? The shorter word and the bigger word means hear. I'll hear you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The last two things here, he uses the word seek and search. They sound like they're the same, but here's the difference. Seeking, he says, you seek me, seek me. Seeking speaks of who you're looking for. Seek me. How many times did he say me, 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 me? Seek me. And then he said, search for me. The searching speaks of where you're going to do the seeking. For example, if a child is missing, I need to seek for my child. I need to seek till I find my child. Okay, where will you search for your child? And I'm just here to tell you on the authority of this book, if you're in captivity, you're bound in sin, you don't have peace, you don't have knowledge of where you'll go if you died. God wants to visit you. God wants to give you peace. He wants to give you an expected end. But here's the condition. You need to seek Him because He's the only one. And you need to search for Him. Where are you going to search? This is it. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus wants to save you, but you have to come God's way. And He's given us the instruction book. If you're going to find God, and God said, you can find me, you search for Him in the Word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You search for God in the Scriptures, but seek His face. And God said, if you'll do that with all of your heart, not parts, pieces, or portions, all of it, it's got to be the number one priority. And if you'll do that, God said, on the authority of this book, you'll find me. And He will bring you out of your captivity. You can be saved and know it. And you'll have such peace. Is God calling you today? Is God visiting you today, ma'am? Give up your self-righteousness. Your self-righteousness will never do it. You need God's righteousness. He'll only give it to you when you repent and come to Him. Amen. You can be saved. Let's pray.